page 7 in your Rooted in Christ devotional. And in your Bibles, you can turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And this is going to be under the section in your books, Practices of Effective Christians. And ultimately, there are going to be 6 points that we're going to cover over the next few weeks on how we can learn these principles for effective scripture memorization, how we can start to, as the Bible is going to tell us, hide God's word in our heart. And so you're there, Psalm 119, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. And so, who would like to read verses 1 through 3? Miss Martha, go ahead.
Psalm 111, 1 to 3.
Or 119.
Or 119, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Are you there?
You're on the right one.
Oh, okay.
Why did I say that? Because he said 11, so you're stuck.
There you go, yep.
Psalm 119, 1 to 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways.
All right, who'd like to read verses 4, 5, and 6? Ms. Sue, go ahead.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
All right, and then who'd like to read 7, 8, and 9? Ms. Rose, go ahead.
7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And 9, oh, I'm sorry. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word.
All right, and then verses 10 and 11 there. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And here's the key verse we want to focus on. Verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And again, this morning we're beginning to talk about memorizing scripture and how to effectively do that. And because, again, we think of the scriptures, and again, there is a lot of interconnectivity. There is a lot of overlap. There is a lot of verses that go together. And there is an importance in, as the Bible says, delighting in God's word, meditating in God's word. But then, as verse number 11 says here, hiding God's word in our heart. And, you know, for years, I've made it a practice, and I don't know where I picked it up at, but I'm sure maybe my dad or my mom or you know, something along those lines growing up. But one of the things I always have sought to do is to know people's names, is to memorize people's names. And I remember we were still in Oklahoma, and I went into our local McDonald's one day, and you know, I'm greeting everybody by name, and the manager who was in the back comes out and says, I've always noticed you always, you know everybody's name. That's a pretty good trait. And I noticed she had taken her name tag off before she came up. She says, okay, but what's my name? We almost never interact. I said, oh, you're Heather. And she says, how did you know that? I said, oh, we had talked months ago, but her name had stuck with me. And so I've just made it a point to, you know people's names, to memorize people's names, and to be able to, when I greet somebody, be able to know their names. Now, over the last, little while, I've gotten not as good at that, you know, because sometimes, you know, you meet so many people that, you know, you lose that ability a little bit. But, you know, or are there other things that I can recall from years ago and people will say, man, you have a good memory. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's not as good as it used to be, but it's still there just a little bit. And, you know, we think about that in the context of memorizing scripture or memorizing verses. And, you know, the Bible tells us several things, and just for sake of time, we won't take the time to go to all these verses. You can write them down and look them up later. But in Deuteronomy 6:6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Deuteronomy 11:18, the Bible says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul." And then our verse here, Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And then Romans 10:8, the Bible tells us, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." And then Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And so, again, we in our devotion has talked about this a few times in the first 11 days of the devotion. It's been talking about what is true success, what is considered being successful. And the devotion has really answered that question, that regardless of what the world teaches us about success, regardless of what the world says how to be successful, God makes it clear that success only comes from one source, and that's from Him. That's from His Word. That's from the Bible. And in Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, in Joshua 1:8, that's the only time you find the word success. From Genesis to Revelation, the word success is only found once in the scriptures. And it's in that context in Joshua 1:8, and it has to do with the word of God. It has to do with having the word of God dwell in us and meditating on it. And the Bible says there, day and night. And so we ought to have the Bible on our hearts and on our minds, you know, not just when we wake up and do our devotions, not just when we come to church. And no, it should be on our hearts and on our minds every minute of every day. And because, you know, you're going about your day and you might come to a situation, and, you know, if you have the Word of God in your heart and your mind, you'll be able to pull something, you know, pull a scripture out of that and say, okay, this is how this applies to this situation. This is how I can, you know, be a help here or be a blessing here or answer this question here or whatever the case may be. Then that's why it's important, as we're going to see, to have the scriptures in our hearts. And when we see here in Joshua, this being the only time the word success is in the Bible, God tells us it comes as a result of meditating on His word. And here's a truth for us to understand, is that you can't meditate on something that you don't already have in your heart. If the scripture isn't present, if the scripture isn't front and center, well, then you won't be able to meditate on it. If it's kind of, you know, pushed in the background, if it's kind of buried, you know, in all the busyness of life, well, then it's going to be hard for us to meditate on it. And that's why it needs to be put in our heart. Now, there's many good plans out there for memorizing scripture. In fact, I have a book in my office there, Evangelist Gerald Fielder. He wrote a book on scripture memorization that I read. And Very excellent book, and there's many excellent programs out there. There's excellent plans out there, but we want to share just a little bit here of some things that have been proven to work for people. And it's a little bit unique. It's a little bit different, but remember, the time and the work are the key. Anything you want to be successful at, you're going to have to put time in. You're going to have to put work into. And the same goes with scripture. And, you know, and even to this day, there are scriptures that I know and that I have memorized. And, you know, now for me, one of my problems when memorizing the scripture is that I can memorize the words and I can pull verses out right now. But my problem is remembering the address. So like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, we all know that, right? That's John 3:16. Well, I can quote that verse, but then I'll have a hard time remembering, okay, it's John 3:16. And so that's what I'm working on when I memorize the scripture, is that, okay, I can memorize the words, but I got to now know, okay, where in the scripture is it? Where in the Bible is it? So that I can say, okay, you know, because it's one thing of saying, yep, this is in the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Well, people want to know, well, where in the Bible is it? So I can go look it up. So I can go read it. And, you know, and especially sometimes, you know, when I'm preaching, you know, I may be reading one verse and I'll look at my notes and reading one verse, and that will trigger another verse I know of, but I can't quite remember the address. I can't quite remember, okay, that's Psalm 119, verse 11, but here's what it says, and I can look it up and find out the address later and let you know, or whatever the case may be like that. But so that's what I'm working on when it comes to memorizing scripture, to better that part of memorizing scripture. What are some areas that you find difficult when it comes to memorizing scripture?
Like you said, where it come from.
Yeah.
Now, and also, if you're talking about grief, you know, you might know a verse about grief, but where, who wrote it, what section of the book?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Who wrote it's another thing.
Yeah, who wrote it? Yeah. And now that's, now, you know, finding where it is, that's the easier part, because not even who wrote it, you know, so because sometimes that's in dispute sometimes. Like you read Hebrews, for the most part, most people agree that we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. But as you look at the typology of Hebrews and how it's written, Paul. Some think, well, because, you know, it has sports analogies. It talks about running your race. It talks about all these things that Paul talked about, but it was never actually attributed to Paul. He never took credit for it anywhere in Hebrews or anywhere in the scriptures. And so it's just kind of, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, you know, who wrote Hebrews. We know God ultimately wrote it. And, you know, and the whole theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ being overall. And so it makes sense that we don't know who wrote Hebrews. And so, but so that's my struggle, is knowing where it's at.
Paul's secretary,
there you go. And but that's what I struggle with, is knowing where the verse is in memorization. And so the biblical principle when it comes to, again, anything, is what you sow is what you reap. So you'll get out of this, and you'll get out of memorizing scripture in exact proportion to the time and energy that you put into it. And so you're there on page number 7 of your devotional. And the first principle we're going to cover this morning is, of course, number 1 there. Choose a specific time and a quiet place. Choose a specific time and a quiet place. In other words, what gets scheduled gets accomplished. And when memorizing the Bible, you want to free yourself from all distractions. And, you know, very little gets accomplished in our lives that we don't already plan out. Very little actually happens unless we sit down and take the time to plan it out. And if we're serious about memorizing scripture, then we're going to have to be willing to, you know, okay, this is my block of time. This is my section of time that I'm going to be free from all other distractions of life. I'm not going to respond to text messages. I'm not going to respond to phone calls. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to be on the laptop or the tablet or the computer or reading another book or whatever else the case may be. That this is the time when I'm going to filter out all other distractions. Now, in our day and age and in our life, that's easier said than done, because we have people and things and places pulling at us in every which way, in every which direction. And everybody seems to want a piece of our time. Everybody wants to seem to, you know, need something. And eventually, and this goes, this is a good principle with anything in life, not just memorizing scripture, but, you know, building your relationship, building, you know, friendships, building, you know, whatever it is that you want to fill in the blank, that you have to dedicate time to that. You have to section off that time to just put away those distractions. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily, you know, your commute to work, right? Or your drive here to church, or, you know, your time in the checkout line at Walmart or at Tops, or, you know, putting gas in the car, or, you know, things like that. I'm talking about time, you know, like Jesus spent alone in communion with the Father. Go over, if you would, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and who'd like to read there verses 35, or verse 35, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. All right, Ms. Martha, go ahead, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35.
And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed.
All right. And so now right there, that's going to be a problem for a lot of people, isn't it? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. In other words, before anybody else got up, before anybody else got moving, before anybody else, before day, he was up. He went out, he got into his solitary place, and he prayed. Before any distractions could come, he was up and alone with God, with the Lord, and he was getting there to pray and spend time alone with the Lord. One of my goals, I refuse to call it a resolution, but one of my goals for this year, especially after they take the catheter out, my insurance covers gym memberships, and there's a gym over at Waverly that accepts it. And so one of my plans is to, early in the morning, get up a little bit early, go to the gym, and start working on losing the rest of this weight.
I know it would depend on the length of a chapter or verse.
Yeah.
But what would you suggest an average time block would be?
If you're just...
minutes, half hour?
If you're just seeking to read, like just read, you know, it's been recorded, you can do that in about 15 minutes. Depending on what you want to accomplish out of that day, what you want to accomplish out of your reading, half hour maybe. You know, just that little time. You know, because nowhere does it say that, you know.
You got to do so much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it takes, depending on the length of a chapter.
Yeah.
You know, a short chapter might take you as long.
Right.
And then a guy like me, it gets confusing. You reread.
Yeah.
And God's word doesn't say how long.
Yeah. No, it just, whatever you find that works for you. And again, it depends, you know, again on, you know, so for the most part, we all know what our days look like, you know, what we have, you know, on our schedules. And, you know, it might be where you have to just say, okay, I'm going to move that to later today because this hour in the morning is what I'm going to spend with the Lord. But I know for me, the last, you know, 11 days or so, it's been to do the devotion, to read a little chapter in my book that I'm reading, do a little scripture reading. It's been about a half hour. And but again, that's me not doing the yearly plan. You know, not going through in the year. So if you're doing the year or the 90-day plan, in addition to the devotion plus whatever else you're reading, then that might take you a little longer than, you know, the half hour. So it all depends on what you find that sweet spot to be, you know, for you personally. For me, I found here the last few days, or the last few weeks, has been about a half hour. And that's what's been working for me. And I don't count that, and that's separate from, you know, and this is important to realize, and this more applies to me than it will anybody else here, but for pastors and missionaries and evangelists and things, we have to separate personal devotions from sermon prep, because we need God to speak to us just as much as you need Him to speak to you. And oftentimes when we're doing sermon prep, it's to get something to give out to somebody else to help somebody else, not necessarily, you know, my own personal walk. And so I have to say, okay, this is my Bible reading for me personally. And then later on, this is the sermon prep for the church or for the Bible studies or things like that. And so, but again, it just kind of depends there. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and who'd like to read there? Verse number 23. Matthew 14 and verse number 23. All right, Ms. Martha, go ahead.
Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
All right. Thank you there, Ms. Martha. And so, you know, the truth is, we see Jesus here. He went and he got himself alone with the Father. And the truth for us is that most of us today, we resist being alone because we feel like we always got to be in the middle of the action. We've always got to be in the middle of something. But, you know, what you start to find out, though, is that sometimes some of the loneliest people in the world sometimes are the ones that are in the middle of a crowd. Some of the loneliest people they're in the middle of everything. And they're surrounded by people, but they themselves are lonely. And, you know, now listen, there's a huge difference between loneliness and solitude. Solitude is something that you choose. And you had better, if you plan to survive in this world, sometimes you need that solitude. Sometimes you need that alone time. You know, it's like I look forward to every time, every year, the time between Halloween and New Year's. Because I know, especially those 3 months, I'm going to take, yes, we're busy as a church and we're busy with activity and everything, but I know I'm going to take some time in those 3 months. I'm going to take some time. Manny and I, we're going to carve out, and there are just going to be some days where we do absolutely nothing. We just spend time with each other, and we just spend time at home, and, you know, we disconnect. Like Christmas this year, you know, we stayed home, you know, we were watching a little TV, had a little dinner. Mandy was there on the couch. She was making some Legos that I got her, and it was just a quiet, relaxing day. That was our solitude. And we need time with God and His Word, and we need that time alone. Now, you might say, well, you just don't understand. You don't understand my world. You say, I'm surrounded by people from the time I get up until the time I go to bed. You say, my time is never my own. Now, listen, I say, that's, you know, that's why you're frustrated. That's why, you know, people begin to burn out, because they're constantly surrounded by people. Look, if you would, Mark chapter 1. And we got to hasten here. But Mark chapter 1, and here in Mark chapter 1, we find that Jesus was surrounded by people. Jesus was surrounded by people. Notice there verse 21. Mark chapter number 1 and verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. But now the next morning, while everyone was still asleep, we see that he chose a solitary place. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. So, believe me, there's going to come a time, and there is times, when there's going to be nobody else that is awake. Nobody else that's up. But you might say, but I'm not a morning person. Join the club. I'm not a morning person either. But guess what? Here's the good news. You can become one. You can become a morning person. Yes. All it takes is that first day. You know, you might wake up and you might be the crankiest person known to man. But then you'd be like, you know what? Oh, yeah, this isn't so bad. And then the next day.
That's supposed to stop, though, because it's around day like 3,000. I mean,
well,
what?
How many 2 years?
You just combined daylight savings with Iron Man, and, you know, but.
I'm always checking to see when the sun rises.
Yeah.
I'm laying there in bed early thinking, sun up yet? What time? 7:33? No, today it's 7:23. Get up now.
Yeah. Well, this morning.
I have a Bible lamp.
Yeah.
My In Touch Ministry. So I'll read that before I
kind of get up for the day.
And get the bed made. And, yeah.
Yep.
I'm still struggling with
it. Yeah. And we all do, right? Like this morning came early. And it was a good night's sleep. I got a good night's sleep. But it came early this morning. But, you know, we're talking about here success, right? Rather than failure. Someone once said this. They said, the difference between genius and average is what you do while everyone else is sleeping. What we need to do is try to get up 30 minutes before everyone else does and see what a difference it will make in your spiritual life as you spend this time and that time memorizing God's Word, memorizing Scripture. And so principle number one for effectively memorizing Scripture is choose a specific time and a quiet place. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?